microphone. Can you? You can hear me, right? It's on. Yep. It's quite a privilege to actually take the platform again. I really have had a lot on my heart. In fact, it's a recurring theme with me. I think about this subject quite often. And the reason why everybody likes a payday. I work with people who really live from paycheck to paycheck. And you can see it. They tell me about it. And a lot of people really look forward to the day of payday. And there is a payday coming. For each one of us, it's a payday someday. But for the Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And I'd like to actually turn to this. Tom has already prayed for this meeting, and so we'll still depend upon God's blessing. But please turn to the book of the Revelation just for a verse here. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, very, very soon. I believe it. He says he's going to come quickly, but that doesn't mean any particular place and time. It's going to happen very rapidly. Some of us are old enough to remember when the Berlin Wall came down in the 90s. In the 1990s, President Reagan was after that for a long time. The Berlin Wall went up, dividing East Germany from West Germany. And if you were to stand on that wall without getting shot, you could stand on that wall and you could see the difference between East Germany and West Germany without even seeing any people. Everything in East Germany seemed to be gray. I've seen pictures of it. And everything in the West seemed to be more green, more prosperous, and so on. There's a change coming. There's a division between the Christian and those who are not saved yet. It's the biggest difference there is. Now, I talked about a payday. And everybody gets a payday, whether you happen to be employed or not. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Now, I'm not a covenant theologist. I'm not a Reformed theologist. I'm not a theologist at all. But what I believe in is the dispensational theology that is in God's Word. If you happen to be a Reformed theologist, you actually have to spiritualize everything. In other words, the plain teaching of God's Word doesn't really mean that. It means something spiritual. It's a thing that you can't really understand. God's Word was written by God through the inspiration of different human beings so that it might be understood plainly. The plain teaching of God's Word. Don't spiritualize it saying that what is written means something else. Sometimes it's true. There's only one interpretation in God's Word as it is written. But there are many applications. That's a different thing. But there's only one interpretation of God's Word. People take it to try to further their personal agenda. So having said that, what I want to talk about is the rewards for the Christian. There is a reward for the Christian. It's not necessarily money. Money, for example, would have ruined me. It would have ruined me. I didn't know that until I got older. If I had had money, I'm just afraid to think of what would have happened to me. And I mean riches. Everybody has some money. But I mean, I'm talking about riches of this world. It would have ruined me. I wouldn't be on this platform. I wouldn't even probably be walking or trying to walk for the Lord Jesus. What I'm talking about is God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, God is a giving God. That's what he does. Because God is love. That's what he says about himself. And love is a giving thing. You cannot love someone or something without either giving of yourself or giving something to that person or place or thing. This chapel, for instance, if you love the gathering of God's people, you'll try to serve the chapel somehow, either straightening out chairs or whatever. But God is love. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal, and that's everlasting, life. So with that in mind, Revelation chapter 22, and I'd like to look at verse 12, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, and one of the last things that he says, it's not exactly the last thing he says, but it's at the end of the book of the Revelation, and he says this, he said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man, that's generic man, mankind, every man according as his work shall be. Now, we're not saved by works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The epistle to the Ephesians has that. It's by grace are you saved. But why did God leave us here after we were saved? I often wondered about that. When I first got saved, I says, I'm ready for heaven. I want to go. I don't want to stay here. I wasn't a happy camper when I got saved. I was happy after I got saved, and I thought I had arrived, and I didn't know anything about the Bible except that I'm saved, and Christ died for my sins. That's all I knew. I knew that God loved me, and that Christ died for me, and I've trusted him, and the Bible says I'm saved. That's all I knew. I didn't know how God thought about things, what God's word was all about. I didn't know that. And as I've come through God's word, as time has gone on, that was a long time ago. I was saved in 1969. What has happened was I found out why God has left me here. That's one of the things I found out. I found out other things too, and I'm not an expert on God's word, but I know more about it now than I did then. I hope that's true of everybody here. You haven't just vegetated. You're supposed to learn more. You're supposed to grow. That's a sign of life. So you grow. Hopefully, as time goes on, stay in God's word, you will grow. Ask God, pray, read the Bible, you will. All right. When do you get your reward? Here it is. Verse 12. This is for the Christian now. This is not for the unsaved. I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I spoke a moment ago about the Berlin Wall. One thing I remember about that was how quickly it came down. Once it was decided to take that thing down, it came down almost overnight. And everybody was stupefied at how quickly that came down. The decision was made, and it just happened. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come quickly at a time when we don't expect him. In a sense, I do expect him right now, but I'm making plans to go to the gospel effort on the common, where we used to go, Elm Park tonight. I'm making plans. But God will interrupt those plans in a quick way. It's good to make plans. Plan ahead, that's right. God says that in his word. But be aware that he's coming, and his reward is with me. Now, all right, what are the rewards? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's have a look at some of them. God calls them crowns. And I'll tell you why he calls them crowns. While you got one figure in the book of the Revelation, turn to Revelation chapter 4, I believe. I'm fresh in my mind. Yep, Revelation chapter 4, the book of the Revelation. Now, this is after the church is raptured or taken out of the world. It's not mentioned from chapter 4, verse 1 onward, the church is never mentioned in the book of the Revelation. It says in chapter 4, verse 10, John had this vision. John the Apostle had this vision. And he says, the 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Seated on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, where'd they get those crowns? I thought there was one king, King of Kings. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. But he gives crowns to those Christians, people who have served him. And the purpose of those crowns is not to flaunt our wealth, but they are to be cast before him. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask myself a question. Have I cast what I have already at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I? Have you surrendered all to him? That's what you have to do before you're saved, really. You have to come to an end of yourself, and you have to acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior, and you have to cast yourself and all that you have at the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person is not ready to do that, they're not ready to be saved. It's as simple as that. It's not easy believism. You can believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge it and never be saved. In other words, he's not your Lord. You have to acknowledge your guilt. You have to acknowledge his saving power and his lordship and who he is, and just come to an end of yourself and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that has not happened, you have not been saved, according to God's word. Everyone that's ever been saved has happened to them. Now, we cast our crowns at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Our brother Eno mentioned Colossians as part of his exposition this morning at the end of the Lord's Supper. And it said, all things were made by him, and by him all things consist. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, the very beginning, it said, for his pleasure they were created. So he's deserving of all the honor that we can give him, and even our own persons. That's what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and then he becomes your Savior. That's how you get saved. If that's not happened, you're not saved. It's as simple as that. That's what the Bible teaches. But to go back onto the crowns in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 25, you get it here. And Paul is writing, and he says, for though I am free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all. See that? He gave himself to God's people because he first gave himself to God, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law, that's the Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Now we're getting to it. I'm going to skip to verse 24. Know ye not that all they who run in a race run all, but all receiveth the prize, but one receiveth the prize rather, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that means moderate, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, the tax man could take your money. Your expenses, medical expenses, living expenses, all kinds of expenses might take the rest of your money and you might end up really with nothing. And if you end up with an automobile, you won't have it very long before things happen to it. It'll either malfunction or corrosion, rust, even vandalism. Even the occasional bug on your windshield, it's been corrupted. Your car's just not clean, and it needs to go and be taken care of. So the things that we have are corruptible, and even our own bodies are not what they used to be. As you get older, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day, the Bible says in another place. But what's this incorruptible crown? You're going to get a crown that God wants to give you that you might have to cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said quite a few wonderful things. Everything he said was wonderful. I wish there were more of them in the Bible, but God planned to write these down, and that's great. But I'm just going to sit there when I see the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Wonderful things in the Bible I see when they are put there by you and by me. Is that true? No. What it means is, when you see, hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, I won't have to say anything. I just want to sit there like Mary did. Martha always had something negative to say, it seems. She was always kind of rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary, she sat there and listened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you're going to do in heaven. And then you'll cast your crowns at his feet. You'll have something to give to him, even though he's the one that gave those crowns to you. He gave us everything. And we can give back to him because it's ours to give. He's given it to us, so we can give it to him. Isn't that a wonderful thing that you can give something to the Lord Jesus Christ? You could start now. Not wait until God actually gives you a crown. He's going to lay the crown up in heaven for you. If you've been saved any time at all, you have one. It's an incorruptible crown. Now I'm going to move along. I've got 17 minutes. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I really can't get into this as much as I'd like to. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Some people call this the soul winner's crown. But God calls it the crown of rejoicing. We were just talking about our brother Wade going to Africa, Lord willing, this Wednesday. He's making plans. And one of the things that actually makes him very, very happy is when somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that make us happy too? Even though we're not the one that gave them the gospel necessarily, it's nice to be a good witness. But aren't you happy even if somebody else leads someone to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it something you've been praying for? Do you get a crown of rejoicing for that? You get a soul winner's crown? Yes, you do. If you've been praying for God to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a soul winner. Yes, you are, because God listens to your prayers if you meet the condition of answered prayer. God answers that prayer. You become a soul winner. What if a person is in a nursing home and can't get out? They can always pray. You can pray for the winning of souls. If you're conscious and you're able to pray, you can pray and you will get a soul winner's crown. God is not stingy. He's not. He loves to give. That's who God is. He loves to give. Now, some people have a great gift of evangelism. Wade is one of them. He would not admit that himself, but he is. That's just exactly what he is. And God gave him that gift, and God has sent him. He could say like the Apostle Paul, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Don't ever frustrate the gift that God has given you. It's a particular gift, but God will give you a crown for that, and you can do the work of an evangelist, even if you're not an evangelist per se. As Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. I'm not an auto mechanic, but I can change spark plugs. And I can do some things. I'm not an auto mechanic. I can put in a toilet. I'll show you a trick. You flush the toilet. After you turn the water off at the tank, you unbolt the toilet. You drain the water into the bathtub, then put the whole toilet bowl into the bathtub. I've done that dozens of times. So I know. Okay? That's a little trick of the trade. But I'm not a plumber. But you can do the work of an evangelist without being an evangelist, per se. How do you do the work of an evangelist? Pray, pray, pray. Pass out tracts, speak to somebody. You can go someplace that I can't go. There was a guy that used to be talking about toilets. There was a guy who used to be called the toilet evangelist. Nobody ever knew who he was. Leonard Lindstedt told me about him. Leonard Lindstedt's with the Lord now. He said, the toilet evangelist. He was out in the Midwest, and they were trying to find out who this guy was. It had to be a guy, because it was only in the men's room, bus terminals, airports, he would leave a gospel tract right there on the shelf. And he didn't have his address on it, just had the same gospel tract. And Mr. Lindstedt said, that guy's a toilet evangelist. That was his ministry in the men's room. He would leave a gospel tract right there. And it was the same gospel tract for years and years. They never found out who it was. He tried. He never found out who it was. But that guy was an evangelist. Okay? He was probably very shy. Didn't want to talk to anybody. But he was, even though he was very furtive, he put that tract there, and they tried to track him down, but they never could. They called the tract people and said, who's ordering this particular tract all the time? They wouldn't tell him, so he couldn't find out. Do the work of an evangelist, and you will get, look at verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That tells you what the crown is, but it tells you when you get it. Now, the Bible says you're adopted. You're born into God's family, and you're adopted into God's family. What does that mean? When are you adopted? You're born into God's family when you are saved. You have a new nature. You're one of God's children. But that's not when you get adopted. What he's talking about is in this culture, everybody that was there at this time know what adoption is. It's at his coming. You know when you get your crowns? You also get into your own. In other words, when you reach your majority, they say in this country, when you become 21 years of age, you are legally an adult. You've always been a human being, but now you can vote. Well, I guess the age is 18 now. You can do certain things. You can sign contracts. You have responsibilities. You can serve in the military. That's when you get your adoptive status. You're already a child of God if you're saved. But you don't come into your adoptive privileges until the Lord Jesus comes and you stand at the bema seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. We must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We, meaning we Christians. The unsaved stand before the great white throne judgment. That's two different things. The bema seat of Christ is the judgment seat of Christ where he will judge our works. And the Bible says God will wipe away every tear. That's when your tears will be wiped away. The tears that you may have of regret, you'll be saved. There are people I know that are saved. They've been saved 20 years. They've got 1 year experience 20 times. They never grew. They just never grew. They're baby Christians, and they've been saved 30 years, some of them. They're baby Christians. Now, it might be that that's how you feel about yourself. Can I tell you, don't be discouraged if that's how it is with you? I don't know how long you've been saved, but it's never too late. Let me give you an example. Do you remember the laborers in the vineyard? Some people worked all day. Some people worked half a day. And some people, at the very end, only worked 1 hour. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, those that shall be first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and so on. And he gave them the same reward that those who labored all day got. What does that parable mean? Things aren't always what they appear to be. Here's an example from the Bible. How about the thief on the cross that got saved? How many people were saved through hearing that passage in the Bible? It's only in Luke's gospel. When the Lord Jesus Christ turned to this hanging thief, he himself was in the middle, hanging on a cross, and he turned to him and said, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's a wonderful gospel section. And because that man saw the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his sins, he trusted Christ, and the Lord Jesus turned to him and said this to him. Do you think that thief is going to get a reward in heaven? Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes. God gives the increase, but the thief is going to be rewarded. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. I love it. And it's only in one gospel. God spoke it one time, but it's true. It's there. So, hurrying on, I have 7 minutes. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Now remember, I spoke a moment ago about doing the work of an evangelist. And he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand." Skip to verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What is that day? That's the day of the Lord's coming. Again, tells you when it's going to happen. The judgment seat of Christ comes, and after that, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. While that is going on, the tribulation is happening on the earth. How much time do you think there is between the rapture of the church and the tribulation beginning? I don't think it's very long. Because God says after we departed, the Spirit has departed with us as far as indwelling is concerned. The Holy Spirit is going to still be here, because God is everywhere and he's God. But he won't be indwelling people. He'll come upon people, just like in the Old Testament. But he says, "Then shall that wicked one be revealed," the Antichrist. Then. So it can't be very long between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. It can't be very long. Might even happen right away, for all I know. "At that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is probably one of the easiest rewards that you can earn. It's easy to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's easy to love his appearing, isn't it? It's easy to love him. He's easy to love. I'm not. A lot of people have told me that. He said, "You're obstreperous." How do you like that word? That's what they called me. "You're obstreperous." I had to go look it up. I said, "You're right. I am obstreperous." So, it's true. But to love the Lord Jesus Christ, that's easy. Anybody can do that because he's so lovable. Do you love his appearing? You got a reward coming. That's a great thing. All right. Now, Revelation chapter 2 in verse 11, we're going back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. I want to talk to you about this one. And he says, you're going to have the overcomer's crown. It's called the crown of life, really. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. I'll start at verse 10. Fear none of these things which shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that you shall have tribulation 10 days. And thou be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Smyrna in Philadelphia, out of the seven churches, Smyrna was the church under persecution, and Philadelphia was the brotherly love church. That's what Philadelphia means. Those two churches were never, out of the seven churches that the Lord had to speak to, Smyrna was not being corrected. Do you know that persecution purifies? I'll give you an example. The Catholic Church, I'm not saying that they're saved or anything. I'm just telling you. In Poland, there was more persecution for Catholics because they decided they were going to follow the Catholic religion. Well, the persecution that Russia, when it was the USSR, they had a terrific persecution of the church, and it purified them as far as adhering to Catholic doctrine, which I do not agree with. But the Catholics, one thing they have, they'll never deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I was raised Catholic. I'm not in the Catholic Church now. I'm no longer Catholic. But I was saved in the Catholic Church, and I came out because they were unscriptural. So I had to leave. But purification comes through persecution. You're going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted. If you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, except the way the world mentions it, if you are a worshiper of Christ and you say something to somebody that's taking the name of the Lord in vain, you'll be persecuted. They won't like you. They'll hate you. I've got one more, and with this I close, and it's in 1 Peter, 1 Epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and verse 4. This one is the last one, and it's the overseer's crown, or the elder's crown, if you want to call it that. That's what the Bible calls it. Shepherd's crown, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And when the chief shepherd, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, he's the great shepherd, he's the chief shepherd, he's the good shepherd. Psalm 22, 23, and 24. When the chief shepherd shall appear, there you have the time again. When does this take place? When do you get your crown? At his appearing, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see that? It's a crown of glory, but it's given to those who have a care for God's flock. Now, Kevin and I are on the oversight. Know those that labor among you. Kevin and I have that responsibility. And I'm not grieving over it or anything like that. There's some things that involve things that you don't like to do and you don't want to do, but God's word says you have to do them, and we do them. We have to carry out God's word, and it's not an easy thing to do. You have to know God's word, and you have to carry it out. But there is much blessing in it as well, much blessing. And it's hard work. If you think it's easy, try it. It's hard, hard work. When I first came to this assembly, Mr. Batstone was the overseer, and I saw what happened to him, and I said, that's a job I never want. I don't want it. I'll never be an overseer. Well, God had different ideas. I can see that. And I have to submit to it. And I have to do it. And it's work. It is a work. But the thing is, I do it. And I'll tell you, it's a wonder to do it. And I'm going to get a crown, I guess. That's what God says. I'm going to get one. I don't think I deserve one, but I'm getting one. But I'll tell you one thing. You can get that crown too. You know how I know? Because God says so. Every one of us should be a shepherd. We should look out for one another. We should pray for one another. Do you pray for me? I'm telling you, I need it. I really do. And you need my prayers, and I do pray for you. But it has to be reciprocal. I hope you're praying for the oversight and for this assembly in general and for every other one that is in this assembly. Pray for us. Pray for each other. And the Bible says, if you have that care, one for another, God says you're a shepherd too. You're not only a brother or a sister, you're a shepherd. A shepherd looks out for the other one. And that is God's blessing. And you will also receive that crown. Five crowns that you will have that privilege of casting at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want it? I want it. I'm old now. I'm older. I'm old. Everything about me reminds me I'm old. Okay. And I have lived almost all my life. I will tell you, as an older person, especially for the younger ones, now's the time to work. While you're here, work. If you're older, work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all that he says for you to do. Then shall you have praise and honor from him. The Bible says every man shall have praise of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the honor that we can give to him. And Father, we thank thee for the privilege of earning rewards from him. Father, we ask thee for help. Help us to serve thee. Help us to be refreshed constantly. We need it constantly. We need, Father, a fresh zeal to serve thee because we love thee. Father, we wish we could love thee more than we do. But, Father, we know that thou dost love us. And we ask thee, Father, for thy help. In the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.